growing apostolic legacy. I started today talking about the unity of the faith and read some verses in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and then what Jesus talked about in Matthew, and then in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and then, of course, Acts, where they were in one accord in one place, and Romans, and then Ephesians, and I read through this morning, and I just want to remind you these verses that it is very clear that here in Ephesians that he said that that he has brought us together, everyone, with access by one Spirit. And I want to say to you, and I say this humbly, and I'm not trying to become controversial, or I know nobody really listens or logs on that it's going to matter that much, but I have watched. I remember in the 70s and 80s when one of the things that probably our churches, we had a track, and my dad may remember it. It was a kind of split, and I don't know, you all may have had it here, but the edge made a big W, and it was Why We Worship. And he opened it up, and it talked about singing, and it talked about praising and playing instruments, and it had all the scripture references, because there was, you know, at that time, most of Christianity did not worship demonstratively. They didn't clap their hands. They didn't raise their hands. They didn't make any noise in church unless it was in a very stylized sort of manner. And so they talked about the tabernacle of David. And I remember hearing sermons, and some of you may or may not remember how that David implemented this type of worship. It wasn't at the temple, but it was called to the tabernacle of David, where he would praise. And this Ephesians verses say a powerful thing. It says this building came together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. So how we are built together is through the Spirit. And I think, as I mentioned today, there are people that will hear our musicians and hear our singers and hear people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that are connected to the Spirit, and they go, wow, you have something that our church doesn't have. And that is an access into the presence of God. And they're willing to say, we want you, we want you, we want you, we want you to come to try to encourage our people. And that's good, all well and good. The thing that I would tell you is, guess what? Every one of us can have access into the fullness of God. And you say, well, I just want a little God. And I remember many years ago in Arkansas when a neighboring pastor who was Methodist, I'll tell you, they were great people, and there was a Holy Ghost crusade in Little Rock, and I looked around, and there his wife was, and she got the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And she told me, you know, I'm a member of what we call a Methacost group. You know, we have a Pentecostal experience, but we're Methodists. That's praise the Lord. And, you know, my aunt, I have my father's sister. She was what they called Cathacost, was a term that she was Catholic and got the Holy Ghost. And others have come out of that. Sister Elaine is here, and others that have prayer and they have received the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? I am saying that with that access to the Spirit, we ought to be so thankful that we can feel the presence of God and raise our hands and feel the presence of Almighty, the Holy Ghost. Amen. David wrote about it, never having experienced it. Psalms the 23rd chapter, Psalms the 27th chapter, Psalms the 42nd chapter, where he said, when I get down, when I get depressed, I go to the house of the Lord. And now he wasn't even talking about a church like this. He was talking about a tabernacle where they're worshiping, singing, no Holy Ghost, no praying around the altar. And he was saying, it does something to me. It makes me change my mind, change my thought. And so I guess what I wanted you to hear me say so much today is when you feel like you don't want to go to church is probably when you need to go to church. When you feel like you don't want to worship God is probably when you need to worship God the most. When you feel like I just want to sit here at home and eat onions and cry, you probably need to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because you see, there's something about the voice of joy and strength. And that was in the 42nd chapter. And then in the 43rd chapter, he says it like this, oh, send out thy light and truth. Everybody say light and truth. Let them bring me to the holy hill, to the tabernacles. Then I will go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Upon the harp I will praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. Now Timothy, the New Testament, we know who the light is. Jesus said, I am the light. Timothy said in the New Testament, Paul wrote to Timothy, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. I want to tell you something. Your heart, my heart, everybody's heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And if you don't have a church to go to that every once in a while the Spirit of the Lord can correct you, you'll find yourself so involved into whatever kind of goofiness. Because that's the devil's job. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've seen good people, well-meaning people, that quit, you know, being a part of a church, quit being part of a body. They're going to, you know, God speaks to me. God does my own thing. I want to tell you something. The more you isolate yourself, it's like isolating part of your body. There's got to be a blood flow. You say, well, right, let me just keep going here. Colossians says it like this. And hath put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now I'm going to make a statement, hard statement, that I didn't say it. I'll quote it to you in a book called This Far by Faith. And Juan Williams, who's has a job as a liberal correspondent on Fox, or did have for many years, was originally on NPR, he's an African American man, wrote a book, got it in my library, and he said, the best thing that happened to Africa was slavery. Was embraced by the European continent because it put us on boats to Europe and to America. And he said it was in those nations that we got our first exposure to Christianity. And he said it was Christianity that brought about the end to slavery, first in Europe and then in America. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. An African-American man said it. And he talked about all the civil rights leaders that had always been preachers, whether it was from Martin Luther King or Jesse Jackson or you name it all the way down. They were all people. Why? Because slavery was going on before America got involved and before Europe got involved. It was going on back in the Greek Empire. It was, in fact, the name comes from, you know, when the Swedes were slaves. The slavery has gone on all of our history. But there was one group that said, it doesn't matter who you are, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, when you get in Christ, you are not bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, you are Christ. You are full of Christ. Now, I understand the liberal media doesn't want to talk about that. But the fact is, Christianity helped destroy the back of slavery worldwide. Amen. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, are you saying there weren't Christians that did? I'm telling you, there are Christians, non-Christians, whatever, that have all done bad. This is not about individual cases. It's about the fact that it has been going on for centuries. In fact, probably all through time. But here it is, when the early church writers wrote about it, they said it doesn't matter if you're bond nor free when you have Christ. That's why the only place where we're on equal footing. I don't go through here and say, now what degree do you have? Now how much money do you make? And we're going to only associate with certain people. When we come here, it doesn't matter whether you're young. That was the point I was making this morning. It doesn't matter what you look like, who you are. You can be part of the body of Christ. You can be part of the church. It doesn't matter how much you have in the bank. Doesn't matter. Right here, we're one. And that was the powerful part of what was going on in Colossians. He says, therefore, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That means putting up with somebody. I'm going to tell you, when it's just me by myself, I don't have to put up with anybody. And sometimes I can, you know, add my wife in the mix and I have to put up with her a little bit. Then start widening the circle. I got to put up with a son-in-law, another son-in-law, daughters, grandchildren. People in the church, people that I see driving down the highway. I don't forbear long with all of them. Sometimes I've been guilty of being short with a few of them. I know not y'all, I'm talking about me. Let me tell you something. That's why it's important to be part of a church. You learn how to forbear with one another. Say, well, it's too hard. Forgiving one another. If you have a quarrel with any, just as Christ forgave you. I didn't write this. Thank the Lord. Y'all don't get mad at me. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I want to tell you something. You will never understand the peace of God if you're not connected in relationship to somebody.
Amen.
Because sometimes you got to pray through and just let the peace of God. I've been in traffic before and I could feel myself, my blood pressure going up. Huh?
Amen.
And sometimes you just have to say, wait a minute, I want to listen to a song. I want to start talking to you, Lord. I want the peace of, you see what I'm saying? I've walked into church sometimes and I've thought, oh Lord, give me your peace. Huh? Oh, Pastor. He said, to which you were called into what? One body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other, and in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Singing with what in your hearts? Grace. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all what? The name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. the Old Testament, David wrote, Lord, how amiable, how lovely are your tabernacles. My soul longeth for them. Even the sparrow hath found a house, a swallow a nest. You can lay her, raise her young at the altars. I want to tell you something. What a privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. What a privilege to dwell in the house of the Lord. He said, that's where the same 84th song, where he came and he said, when passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. What are you saying? There's something about being in the presence of God that even Baca means weeping. When you are going through the hardest struggle of your life, it's named after a balsam tree that you break and it just weeps sap, and it's used and it just, it's like the stick cries. And it says, when you are going through a valley where it just feels like there's nothing you can do but cry, when you can get into the presence of God, when you can get into the house. And now this was written by a man who had never experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How much more for us? And how many of you, I don't want to ask you to raise your hands, can say, I have been going through it and I came into the presence of the Lord and I just couldn't do anything, but I just started feeling and my soul started responding to that moving of the Holy Ghost. That's why David said, as he goes on down, he said, this, when you pass through that valley, it becomes a spring. And he starts winding it up by saying, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. What are you saying? I'm saying what a privilege it is to be able to come and bind yourself to a body and feel the presence and the Shekinah of Almighty God. I understand. You say, are you saying you're going to hell? Are you saying if you don't come to every service? I'm not going there. I'm not saying I can pastor everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not. But you need to make sure you're connected to a church. It's going to help you survive when the pressure's on. Go on, Psalms 92. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, he said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I'm thankful for all of our senior citizens. You say, well, I want it to be happening, and I want it to be happening too, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad to see people that can say God's able to take you from your youth to your old age.
Amen.
And I like this verse because it talks about you shall be fat and flourishing, and I thought that meant just pleasingly plump. What it's meaning is blessed. You know, Psalms 133, I've read it, I think alluded to it Wednesday night. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Why is it so important to lay aside everything, every issue, and come and bring glory to God? Because it's like precious ointment on the head that runs down the beard, even Aaron's beard, down to the skirts of his garment. Now, this ointment was not just plain olive oil. It was mixed with four spices together, and it was almost like sludge oil. And it didn't just pour down and boom, splash everywhere. It was just a gooey, God mess that just ran down. And he said it's like the dew of Hermon, the dew that descended from the mountain of Zion. What are you talking about? Dew is not something that just, you know, all of a sudden boom, flows and it's raining dew. No, it very slowly just begins to seep into your pores. That's, you know, that's the whole point of living for God. It you know, I understand you can get the Holy Ghost and you can shout and you can dance, but when you really begin to realize realize being part of a church all of a sudden begins to bring about unity, and it just slowly saturates into your body to where you, I don't want to miss church. I'm sorry. I got to be there. I don't like it. If I could be there every time the door, and I have people that tell me, you know, Pastor, please don't stop any services. Don't, you know? Yeah. Well, there are those that say, yeah, one, it'd be great. Just one little shot in the morning. That'll keep me all week. And then there are some that this anointing has just flowed down in the dew, and they're going, I want to be there ever. I want, ooh, I wish I could have more. I wish I could dwell. What are you saying? It becomes part of what it does. It's the brings the blessing, even life forevermore. What are you saying? Simon Peter wrote about this as husbands and wives, and he said, that relationship is so strong that it's designed to produce life. And we have a young girl here, Charlotte, that is the evidence of a marriage that brings about life. That's why the church and the Lord, that union is what produces the grace of life, and that your prayers aren't hindered. You say, well, is that important? Yeah, because when you pray alone, Paul said, I prayed, I had a thorn in the flesh. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Finally, the Lord said, my grace. You want to touch the grace of God? Get connected to the body. In Corinthians, he wraps up 2 Corinthians by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. That's what we have to have today. I want to tell you, we take communion, and that's good. But you're going to need in this end time more grace, more love of God, and more communion. What does that mean? Personally, getting the Holy Ghost. And you say, oh, Pastor, this problem, that problem, what's going on in the world? Paul said it 2,000 years ago. You're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need the love of God. You're going to need the communion of the Holy Ghost. You want to know how to survive in a church. You want to know how to build a relationship with God. You want to know how to make it in this hour. You're going to have grace upon grace. You're going to have more grace. Oh, God, give me grace. Oh, God, give me more of your love. Why? Because I can tell you, I know people that'll just drain it out of you like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, God, I got to fill up with more love of God. I got to have more grace. I got to have more goodness from God, because I can tell you how quickly it can go. And, you know, one of the easiest things is it's not fair. It's not fair. They got this. They got this one has this. This one has that. It's not fair. I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. I can look around and go, this is not fair, and that's not right, and this one isn't fair. And I can, you want to sit down with me? I can give you a whole list of things that aren't fair, that aren't good, that aren't, I didn't like, that didn't. But I got to remember, God's been good to me. I don't need to talk about what I don't have, but I need to talk about what I do have. I have the grace of God. Oh, God's been so merciful. God's been so kind. God's been so, huh? I've had people come to me and say, why is so-and-so never get well? Why does this? You got to have more grace. And then when you have to deal with people, you need a lot of the love of God. Huh? You say, what everybody I deal with is lovely and wonderful and it's kind, and well, I don't know where you live, but that's not where I live. I need a lot of the love of God. Huh? And then, last but not least, communion of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand. Good to have all of you in the house of the Lord. Let's come. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord for His Word. Thank the Lord for the unity of the faith. Oh, hallelujah. Till we all come together in the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray for one another. Lord, unite us in your faith. Unite us, Lord, in your mercy. Give us, Lord, your grace. Give us your love. Hallelujah. In the name that's above every name. Jesus, in your name.